This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome back. For those of you we haven't seen, maybe you've been away for a holiday, and if you're back, welcome back. It's good to see you. Pastor Heinrich Titus, our senior pastor of Shofar, he always, his father was also a pastor, so he says he grew up as a pastor's kid, PK, as he refers to it. And now obviously my children are also pastor's kids, because I went into full-time ministry when they were about 8 months old, so they only know the dad they have right now. And this morning when me and my two sons left for church, Maritza and my daughter were coming a little bit later, my one boy looked at me when the gate closed and he says, "Your dad, we haven't been to church for quite some time." I'm like, what, we missed 1 week? So that's a high standard in a sense. No condemnation if you were away on holiday. It was just precious to me when he said to me, "Listen, Dad, we haven't been to church for quite some time." I'm like, "Oh, then, it's 1 week that we weren't here. We just had a bit of a holiday." So he loves church, I believe. And that's precious. And hopefully you will all say amen that you love church as well, that it's... that it's awesome to be here, that it's family, that it's community, that God has placed us here, and that He's got a place for all of us at the table, in this family, and for what He wants to do. I'm excited about this year, not just because it's the start of the year, but it's raining in our nation. It's beautiful. We've been praying, and Quentin is referring to it this morning, and just to see places that's this groen, it's green, it's beautiful, and I just believe it brings so much joy to our hearts. I said to one friend of mine, he was there at Omitara yesterday, and it almost looks like the Western Cape in a green, in a good rainy season. It's like those in the Swartland, Malmesbury, those places. It's just green. I said to him, "Man, please send me more photos. We live here in the desert. We don't see anything. We want to send the greenness with us." It's so beautiful just to see God's hand, and just the blessing that our nation is starting to experience in that sense. So I'm excited about it here, because I'm just always seeing, I've been so encouraged about what God is doing currently in every season, every time, every day in our lives. And I guess we'll take I'll speak probably for a lifetime about it. During the holiday, we had family here, and I said to him, "But can I show you the church building we are building?" And every time I got there, because the wind was blowing very strongly, so that green net was, it was down. And every time I walk in there, I'm almost shocked. Because it's so big. It's just amazing to see what has happened in 1 year, and what God is doing through us. We're just normal people, in a sense. I hope it's okay with you to say that. But we're just the church, and just to stand there and to see this massive church. And I said at the end of last year as well, I'm so excited, because I know that church building isn't the end. It's not that's not what we are working towards. Yes, it's an important goal, but as Jaco has said many times, we are building the church, and we are building the church. And I believe that's going to be a big step ahead for a lot of things to come. So that's part of why it's important but what I believe I'm going to share a little bit on this morning. So I'm just going to keep my eye on the watch. I'm a bit rusty. So in the first church service, we just went on to preach and to preach. And I guess you don't like long sermons, do you? Saki said there's no coffee break. But one thing that I do want to start off with, it's just to quickly get us back to I'm going to talk a little bit about equipping the saints. So if you think this morning, Pastor, we have heard that message, it's just basic stuff, in a sense, then basic stuff matter. Basic things in life is important. I've shared it maybe a few times before, but when I got saved way back in Stellenbosch as a student, and I joined Shofar Christian Church there in 2002, we were only 3 churches. Today, if you go to our website, we're about 50, 60 plus churches in the UK, in Namibia, in South Africa, quite a lot of places with a lot of fellowship churches. And if I could say, I'll get back to those two scriptures, but there's one thing that I know is there was a passion in our hearts, in our DNA to go, to be a go church, to send teams, to see the kingdom come, to go and to make disciples. But I know to plant a lot of churches, you need people that's equipped. You need to do some basics right. And probably many of you over the past few years, we received mission teams from Potchefstroom. And it was such a blessing to see those 22, 23-year-olds come here and how well they're equipped. I just salute their pastor because it's a job well done. It's one thing to have a lot of the love of Christ in our hearts, to be excited about the kingdom, but to be equipped is so important. Amen. So let's have a look at our vision quickly, just to refresh us why we are all here. If someone brought you here, if someone sent you here, if you're visiting, I'll just quickly show, Marikus will have the slide up there, what our vision and our statement says. And it's basically the mandate that God has given for us as a church group or a movement specifically is to reach the nations and generations. And then it says through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. So it's not something official, but if I say these two scriptures that I believe is quite foundational for what the Lord has achieved through us in the past 25, almost 3 years, then I would say Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, which all of us know so well. It's one of those most quoted. By the way, you know, I read the other day, one theologian, he said, you know, John 3:16 used to be one of the most quoted verses in Scripture. But today, it's changed to something like, you shall not judge, you know, because we've all moved in culture. Well, don't tell me, don't judge me. I can do what I want to, you know, those type of things. But let's get back to what we want to talk about this morning, our vision, how we were going out. And let's read it quickly, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that I have commanded you. So that's why I'm saying our heart, our DNA, close to the great commission that the Lord has given to the disciples and to the church as a whole, that we should go, that we should be a going church. Going to other places, taking the gospel, taking the good news, making the disciples, teaching people. And then, as I said, if there will be a other verse that I believe tie in a sense, I believe Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. I will read it just now to you and we'll spend a little bit of time. But church, there's something about basics. There's something about doing basics well, you know. I think I'm not going to show it again. I showed it in the Afrikaans church service, but then I see I lost a lot of the men again because I showed a video clip of the Rugby World Cup last year, so I just had to get everyone back. So I'm not going to do it again. But if you will allow me just for a moment, you can think of your own context. You know, all of us who love rugby or sport, we will all know, so don't play the video now, otherwise everyone's going to distract it. I think it was more of an error on my side than something that had a good intention. But just wanted to show you that when we started to watch that game and it was scrum time, meaning something for basics, something for hard work, you know, that we just all could see South Africa is on the ball. South Africa is prepared, the Springboks were on it, and if you were to read a little bit of stats into it, you know, South Africa won 11 of the scrums versus the English 3, they won 100% of their lineouts. So I know I don't want to get you distracted or anything like that, but it's just beautiful to see that principle of doing the basics right. Because many times we've all seen my children are playing, starting to play a lot of sports and all of that. And sometimes the dads along the field just want to say to them, before you try and do all those funny, impressive things, just do the basics right. Okay? And I believe it applies to us in church. You know, I spoke to Pastor Francis Savuti, or he's actually bishop, in Zambia in the last few days. And in April, we will lead a mission team there. So start to pray about it. If you feel in your heart there's a passion and you want to join us in the school holidays in April and you want to go on missions, start to prepare yourself. Be equipped. I've grown so much over the years through missions. But, you know, we cannot send people who are still immature. You cannot send people who hasn't been equipped. Because what will you teach the other people on the other side? So I believe it's just important and it's beautiful. And I believe if you go and you can even go to our website and you can look at the church building project and all the prophetic promises. There's a few prophetic promises that the Lord has specifically given to us as a church. And I just want to read one of those to you this morning. It says, Shofar Swakop Mund has received many prophetic promises waiting to be fulfilled in his perfect timing. And then the one I chose and just want to show to you, you can have a look at all of them in your own time. It's there on the website. It's part of the church building campaign and fundraiser. It says, a place where disciples are made, equipped and sent into the world to become fishers of men, where armies can be trained and equipped for his kingdom. Okay, so I believe it's an important place where we can say the Lord has got a heart for us as a church to equip people, to send them out. And that is part of, I believe, something that we can give credit and honor leaders before us, older than myself especially, in Shofar as a movement where the Lord has really trained them and anointed them to raise up leaders. Otherwise, you couldn't have planted all the churches that we have planted in the last 25, 30 years. So, this morning, just let's look a little bit about basics. So if it's a little bit hot, it feels to me, if I'm back in Windhoek, I was pastor there for 6.5 years, and man, it was sometimes streams of living water when you stand there in good old Windhoek, especially in the summertime. Whew, it's hot. And the Swakopmund, it also feels a little bit hot, so I'll try and keep it short this morning. Quinton already gave an awesome sermon, so I will just go in his slipstream this morning. Love his heart, especially about giving. Probably one of the best and biggest givers that I know. So, equipping. Let's spitz our ears a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. If you've got your Bible, you can follow. Otherwise, it will be there on the board as well. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Only a few verses, but once again, I love Ephesians. It's so loaded. 2 weeks ago, I gave a lot of background about Ephesians. So I'm not going to go into all of that. Again, please listen to it or do a little bit of reading on the side. But I thought this passage from chapter 4, verse 1 to 17, it's powerful. It's so rich, but we will not. It's too much for one morning. So I just want to focus on this specific portion of Scripture. And you know, when you read that text, sometimes I always try and encourage us to read a bit slower, because sometimes, you know, we go so fast and we miss key portions or things that the Lord actually, I read it over and over and over, and the Lord is so faithful to always open it up and show us. My eyes instantly want to jump to the apostles and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and describe what they are doing, why the Lord gave them and all of that. But you see, that part, it starts, that's the New Living Translation. I'm just reading here from the ESV. It says, and he gave. And he gave. Now, who is he? Who gave? It's not me. It's not one of the other pastors or someone in our church structures. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one who gave. And when I read and I see he gave something to me, I just want to say, thank you, Lord. I received that. There must be a reason why the Lord gives something to the church. Can I just read quickly from Ephesians chapter 1, just because it's so powerful, just to give us that context once again about the one who gave to the church, the one who was the head, and what he gave to the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 23. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Just one small portion of Scripture, just to remind us again, who is the one who gave? Who is the one? Who is the head? Who is the one who builds the church? Who is the one above everything, with all power, at the right hand, in heavenly places? That's the one who gave the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and all of that. He's the one who gave that to the church. So I just go from a place and I say, and I'm not going to go into detail this morning and explain about the evangelist and the prophet and the different offices in the fivefold ministry. Bible school 2 starts in 3 weeks' time. If you're interested, please sign up. We always want to encourage you to come and do Bible school. But here, I just say and ask myself and say, Lord, if you give it to your church, you know best. You know who to give and you know what to give to your church, because you know what you want to accomplish in your church. And here's something I want to say to us, something I believe that's important for us to hear early in the year. Sometimes we are so busy discussing and figuring out the person who's standing in a certain office, whether it's someone in the worship team, the head of the kiddies church, the worship team, the small group, the pulpit, wherever. We're so busy in our natural minds trying to do the pros and the cons and the this and the that. Let's say thank you, Lord, for those you gave to us, to your church. Because I'm making a big point this morning about the one who's giving, the one who's doing the giving. I'll just later on just refer quickly about all the gifts. If you've got a Bible, study Bible, and you look at the back and you look at the words gift, just see all the gifts that the Lord has given to His church. So if God is saying something, giving something to me, I don't want to first discuss and value, oh Lord, should I say yes? Do I like it? I'm just going to say thank you, because I look at the one who's doing the giving. And He's the one who's giving, and He knows who He's doing, and that's His sovereign choice. 2 weeks ago, I just preached and I shared that beauty of that He predestined us to be adopted. In love, He did it. Okay, He chose us before the foundations of the world. And He gave us different eye colors, and He gave us different qualities, and He gave us different gifts. Okay, all for the church to do His work. So when we quickly look at the fivefold ministry, basically it's just to assist people in growing into mature disciples of Christ and to equip them to become effective disciple makers. Okay, that's their specific task. Okay, remember, we're talking in the context of basic equipping. And you know, just as I'm a father and I know this, my children are 11 and 9 years old, and I know, and I sometimes say to my wife, new season, new different things we need to address. Stuff is happening in our children's lives. They are developing, so we need to adopt a little bit. New rules, new things, new impartation, new equipping that I need to do with them. And I just know if we want to be part of this going church that can say, God, we want to see your kingdom come. You know, the better we are equipped, I believe the more we are worth in this. No, worth is the wrong word. The more, now I'm going to get myself in a hole. I don't want to say value, but let's use a different. If you are an employer and there's two people that's applying for a job, and the one has got this much skills and qualifications and experience, and the other one is there, you will probably, just for basic reasons, choose the one who can really do the job. Okay? So if you've never done Encounter One, I'm just using it as example. If you've never done it, you can't go to Zambia with us and say, I will present it, because how are you going to present something you haven't done before? It's just basics, you know. And sometimes we want to do, even in the church, very spiritual things, but we neglect the basics. And today I'm saying it from a pastor's father's heart, you know, sitting in the place where I'm sitting with Pastor Yaku, you know, sometimes I can see how much work there is to do in the equipping department. There's a lot of work that I believe there's to do for us. Okay, so He gave the fivefold to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. I just love that. I just want to write it out and put it against my wall, because I know it's He who gave it to His church, to equip the saints. So don't let the word saint fool you. Shall I ask who are saints this morning? Us, okay? So if you're born again, if you're a believer, Scripture calls us saints. But we are not that perfect, are we? We are still growing into His character, into His image, becoming more mature. So here's the thing. If we were so saint-like, that's our status in terms of our salvation. He gave us new life while we were still dead in our trespasses. But He wouldn't have given us the fivefold ministry if we needed no equipping. He gives it to the church because the church needs growth. The church needs to be equipped. Okay? Because if the church is equipped, they can do what? The work of the ministry. The New Living Translation says, do His work. The work of the ministry, then we can do His work. Okay? So what is the sequence here? Do we first do the work or do we first get equipped? It says He gives the fivefold, pastors, apostles, okay, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and then we become bodybuilders. Spoke to Marika before the time. I said, what do I call the sermon? Maybe I should call it bodybuilders. You know, not this big, strong muscle guys. But it says when we are doing His work, the work of the ministry, it's building up the body of Christ. Do we get stronger or weaker? Stronger. The body gets stronger. So the more we open ourselves up and say, I will be equipped this year, the stronger the body becomes. Okay? Any excitement? Awesome. It's hot out there. I know. Saki, I'm just as excited to do the work of the ministry. And that is what we need to do. That's what we need to be excited about. So if we were to talk sport, and I'm glad I didn't show the video clip once again, but that's scrum time. That's work time. That's time to pull up your sleeves and to say, listen, it's going to cost me. Quentin was referring to intercession every morning and if you want to sort out your life. And I agree with him. But man, the Spirit never, there's two spirits working. There's the Holy Spirit, and then as the one pastor always teases, there's the spirit of duvet. You know, that spirit wants to keep us at home 5 o'clock in the morning because it's not easy. It's not nice. And I've never been had this New Testament experience where I've been transported from my bed to intercession. I'm just here. It takes setting a clock, making a commitment, and saying that's the amount of time I need to wake up and get some coffee to my body or whatever, tea if you... Someone, but you need to do what you need to do to get equipped. So equipping in church is for free, but it doesn't come at no cost. The cost is dedication. It's what Quentin spoke about, discipline. It's about saying for myself, listen, I'm going to sign up for Bible school or for whatever ministry, because you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, does the Lord want to equip me this year? If you think you are completely there, well, I've got news for you. We will never be there. There's always some part that we can grow in. Amen. Amen. So, I just want to read one clause of one phrase from a commentary. Thomas Schreiner, he writes there in a exegetical commentary on this phrase, and he says, this is a particularly important doctrine to affirm and teach. Now, he's referring just to equipping the saints. And teach when there is an increasing trend towards a consumer mentality by churchgoers. That's all of us. The body of Christ is not a place to sit and soak, but to serve. It is important to help believers realize that they have all been called into full-time Christian ministry. Giftings may differ, may be different, roles may vary, but being a Christian means being a minister. Amen. So if you didn't know that, we are all called for full-time ministry. Some of us, like me, are lucky. I can just do ministry. But some of us need to have a work. That's a joke in a sense. Okay, some of you need to work and do ministry. Okay, but there's none of us that can say we don't have, it's a foreign concept to the New Testament where only the fivefold ministry is doing the work. I believe it's unbiblical. We are all priests. We are all called to minister. We can all pray. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can go. You can preach the gospel. You can pray for someone. You can be sent out. You can be part of the 70 or the 120 or part of the 500,000, I don't know how many, 1 billion, I don't know how many believers there is in the world. But we are all called to serve. And this context doesn't actually speak so much about going in the harvest. It speaks about, the word actually refers more to a serving place, serving one another. And if you listen to Pastor Heinrich Titus, our head pastor's year-end message, I thought about playing it, but once again, it will get too long. He's just explaining this thing so beautifully, how there's a place in our own inner rooms where we need to grow, prayer, our own devotion. But the church is always a community. We need each other. And guess what? We grow when sometimes we're a little bit in each other's faces. I need to sometimes, and I've gone over the last how many 20 years, say, sometimes, Lord, that guy's irritating me, Lord. I'm hurt. I'm offended, Lord. I've been wronged or this or that about someone, something that happened in church. Anyone who can relate? All of us. I know. All of us will probably, but that is where we grow. That's where we learn to forgive. That's where we learn to give. That's where we learn so many principles. So, for Paul, it was important. He gave the fivefold for equipping the saints for, to do his work or the work of the ministry. And then he says, and it builds up the body of Christ. And isn't that something to say hallelujah to? Something awesome. Something that as we grow together, and praise God for the growth that we had over the how many years in this church, not just numerical, but also in character, in Christ-likeness. Amen. So, that's really important. I referred to this morning just quickly about all the different gifts. Go and make a little bit of an effort and just look at all the gifts. Salvation, the scripture calls it, salvation is a gift. It's something we don't work for. It's something that we receive. There's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give different gifts to the church. Who's giving it? It's the Trinity. It's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that's giving different gifts to His church to do the work of the ministry. Okay? Can you name maybe some of the gifts of the Father to me this morning? Anyone, show your hand. One gift of the Father. Sorry? Yeah, but okay, I'm talking the gift of the Father, the motivational gift in Romans 12. Okay. Anyone, by show of hand? Okay, there's quite a few of them. How many gifts of the Holy Spirit is there in the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as well. Nine. Yes, there's nine. Name someone. Name one. Teaching. Healing. Healing. Yes, thank you. Okay, but do you hear when I talk about equipping this morning, if we don't know those gifts even by name, then I guess we don't even walk in them. Okay? So if you can't name the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's the gifts of the Son, which I just referred to, the fivefold ministry, and we can go on, we can look at the motivational gifts in Romans chapter. Those are things where we need to say, God, you have been giving it to us as the church to use it. My father-in-law, they visit us in the December holiday, and I know him now for about 15 years, and we were doing a few DIY things at home, and he opened my toolbox, and he used it, and he said, well done. You've got a few new tools over the years. True. I've grown. I've got new things that I can use over the years. I know what to do with them. But if I never know, open up that toolbox, I don't know what's on the inside. Okay? But if we don't open up our Bibles, if we don't study, if we don't get ourselves equipped, you won't know what the motivational gifts or the gift of the Father or the gift of the Holy Spirit is. It's a gift that God, in His grace, in His goodness, wanted to give to His church to build it up, or some of them to heal people, to deliver people. Amen. We need to be excited about those things. And then Paul continues, so I'm rushing a little bit towards the end, but that's just one place where I know there's so much room for us as the church to be equipped, where we need to open our hearts and say, Lord, speak to me. Because here's a promise I will make to you this day. I believe it's biblical to be equipped. Paul says it. So if we go with humble, teachable hearts, yeah, at the start of the year, and we say, Lord, give, and we pray, 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 and we say, Lord, where do you want me to grow? How do you want me to be equipped? Where do you want me to serve? The Lord will speak to us. He will speak to you. Because he wants you to grow. Amen? Do you believe that's biblical? It's basics, guys. It's basics that we need to say amen to. And just to end off then in verse 13, this little passage, it says, this will continue, all the equipping, etc., the building up of the body, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. While we are growing, while we are becoming more Christ-like, that's what Paul wants for the Ephesians to hear. That's what he wants for us to hear, that we grow continuously to a place of maturity. Because the next verses, which we're not going to go into this morning, is he don't want us to be tossed around in the waves and by every wind of doctrine, etc., to be blown around and to be upside down and all of that. He wants us to have our feet on the ground, rooted in the Word of God, to stand strong, to be growing to maturity and to be Christ-like, to be like Christ. In Christ, all his fullness is the standard that believers are to seek to attain. We need to grow to that. And that is something that's not happening in isolation. That is something that's happening in the context of church. That is where we rub shoulders, and we speak into each other's lives. And sometimes, you know, you need to take a friend or a leader or someone and says, speak to me. Tell me if in marriage, it usually happens quite well. Okay, we are quite well or good to tell each other, oh, you need to grow in this and you need to grow in that and all of that. Okay, ask your wife. Amen. So it's important for us to grow into that. Now, so yeah, I believe it's important that we ask the question, if you want to, if you feel led this morning, that we ask that question and say, Lord, where do I need to grow early in this year? The biggest mistake we can make is to think we know it all. Is to think, I've been there, I'm the man, I arrived, anything like that. We all can grow in being equipped, in studying, etc. We need to be bodybuilders to build up this church, because I believe we are clay in God's hands, but he can just use us more effectively. I believe it's important that we embrace the people that the Lord has placed in our lives. Sometimes we are so critical, as I said earlier on, about my small group leader or someone who's leading the worship team, or God, I will do Kitty's church when someone else is the ministry leader, or Lord, I will do this ministry, I'll join it. But you know what? That's that old saying, you find the perfect church, don't join it because you are going to spoil it. And there's a lot of truth. You will not find it in the Word, but it's true. You know, churches aren't perfect, but we aren't perfect as well, okay? And sometimes we think we make a huge, beautiful contribution, but all the time, God is doing the work. So it's important that we learn and we have a teachable spirit, that we are humble, and that we can receive those pastors, apostles, prophets and teachers, pastors, that the Lord has placed in our lives, that we don't try and evaluate them first. Yes, you need to be, don't just go to any place and then just receive anything. There's a little bit of caution. But if you are in a healthy church setup where the fruits are biblical, etc., then just say, Lord, I'm going to open myself up for the equipping. I'm going to embrace those people, those leaders that he gave as a blessing. The New Living Translation actually says it's gifts that he has given to the church. Gifts meaning it's something for the church to grow, to prosper. We just need to come and to say, Lord, how will I grow to maturity this year? What can I do? Where do I need to kick my heels into the ground and say, yeah, I'm going to stand, and I'm going to be open to what God wants to do in my life? You know, if you want to, I'm using missions just as one example, but if you want to be a One Hope, someone who does the One Hope training when we go on missions, or if you want to do counseling, or if you want to teach Bible school, or if you want to be a small group leader, if you want to be a small group leader, you first need to go to small group. If you want to teach the One Hope course, which is such a blessing, then you need training to do that. If we've got 2 years ago, February 2 years ago, we had almost 100 people attending a course that Pieter and Tannie Leentron did in terms of counseling and deliverance, setting people free. But we've got 3 to 4 people in church that I can refer people to who needs really deep counseling or deliverance. Okay? You can't just send someone to anyone. You need someone who's got the right fruit, someone who's been equipped. Okay? You're not going to lead intercession if you never attended intercession. Sometimes we want positions. Sometimes we want a badge in church where it says, I am a this or I'm a that. But get yourself equipped. Say, Lord, where do you want to use me? And God will use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use all of us. So I believe it's equipping is something basic. Sometimes it's hard work. It will take our time. It's going to take a bit of concentration. But we need to, it's like scrum time. We need to get our minds on that and say, me and my wife had in the weekend that conversation, and she said, but this year I feel I want to do this, so how will we structure our household in terms of kids and work and school and everything that's happening? But that's a conversation everyone needs to have. To say, God, where's the time that I will give to you this year? Because the church needs to be equipped to do the work of the ministry, to build up the church. Then we're a go church. We're a church that can plant and expand and all of that. Let's just close our eyes where we are right now. Early on in the holiday, or previous before that, end of the last year, I just, you know, a few of my electronic devices were all giving me the same message, telling me space is up, my memory card or whatever, Dropbox, there's no space available. And I just had this concept in my mind, and I was really praying in the past week about today, and you know, the Lord just took me back to a sermon which I actually preached exactly 10 years ago, and the title of the sermon was, How the Enemy Sometimes is Keeping On to Trick Us, He's Keeping On to Cheat Us. And you know, many of us are so occupied, our minds, our emotions, our lives, there's so much stuff happening in our lives that there's almost like the memory card, the space part of your mind is completely cluttered. It's completely full of stuff. And our focus isn't on the kingdom of God. There's no more energy left. There's no more space in your life. And I believe the Lord really wants to come early on in this year, and He wants to clean up. He wants to heal. He wants to set free. For some of us, in our minds, in our emotions, we need to make decisions. Maybe you need to pray a prayer this morning. Maybe you need to go and you need to see someone. Maybe you need to drink a coffee with one of the leaders in church. Maybe you need to go for a little bit of counseling or something like that. The Lord will lead you. But for some of us, our lives is just too full. There's no more space available even to be equipped. When we think about the church wants to do this and I should do that, we just feel like it's too much. I'm already tired. I've got no more space available. There's all these things, all these emotions happening in my life. And I just believe that the Lord wants to come and renew, wants to come and set free. He wants to come and do a bit of cleaning. That we can come and say early on in the year, Lord, I want to be a bodybuilder. I want to build this body for your glory. Lord, I want to be a vessel in your hand. Lord, I want to submit to what you gave to the church, to equip the church for the work of ministry. And we can be excited about doing the work of the ministry, about doing His work. Lord Jesus, about doing your work. That we can be passionate about it. But Lord, some of us need a bit of surgery. Some of us need a bit of just a white page to get some breath and motivation, or maybe just space to process and to make a commitment for this year and say, I want to sign up for whatever ministry the Lord is laying on your heart, because the saints need equipping. It's biblical.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.